Tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll be having a guest here. One of my Talmidim will be here, Rabbi Shalom Rosner from Keren Yavne. And, you know, we're the wonderful, outstanding Magid Shir. So he'll give our Shir, and then I think the Sicha after Minchizma. So I think there'll be some Marmakomos in the morning, and really you can use your own discretion whether to prepare those Marmakomos, to continue with the Sukh of Sirtut, but you know, I think it'll be a nice opportunity. We left off discussing the Chiddush of the Ram, Megillah Daf Hei Amud Beis and Daf Hei Harif, where the Ram dealt with that very fundamental kasha, that how can it possibly be that tefillin doesn't require sirtut, when our Gemara tells us that simple igeris requires sirtut? Can it really be that tefillin is ranks lower than an igeris? It sounds inconceivable. And even furthermore, one can ask the following question, that if our Gemara says any type of ksiva requires sirtut, so why is there a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that mezuzah requires sirtut? Isn't that something that shouldn't be obvious? So the Rav makes that fundamental distinction, that our sugya relates to a ksav ha'omed l'kriya, a ksav ha'omed l'kriya. And yes, it's true that can be even outside of the miskeres of kisvei hakodesh. That can even apply to inigeres, but kol zman that it is a ksav which is omed l'kriya. That certainly is not true when it comes to a case of tefillin. That certainly is not true when it comes to mezuzah. So therefore, really, it's not so unusual to assume inigeres, yes, and tefillin and mezuzah, no, and that's the starting point. That would be a starting point. Now, if you're going to argue that mezuzah requires sirtut, then there must be some separate makar to indicate that that's true, and enachinami, that hilchasa, ahalacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And if you don't have a separate makar, like in tefillin, we're going to go back to the fallback position, and that is aksav, which is not, omen the kriya, does not require sirtut. We're going to see, for example, like Rabbeinu Tam Shita, that you know what, that there's a difference within the world of Hidra Mitzvah when it comes to something that is red as opposed to something which is indeed concealed. So here, the Ran writes, that is also essential when it comes to the Ikar HaDin of Sirtut. And indeed, when you look back in the Rambam, in Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, there the Rambam writes that the reason Tefillin does not require Sirtut is because the Fi Shehein Mechufin, because the Parshios are indeed concealed. Pashup Shat, like that Ran, Aksav, Anitan, Likrasva. That is what requires Sirtut. And this, no doubt, can answer another question as well. The Tosas and Sota, Daf Yud Zayin and Mabeis, a Megillah Sota, requires Sirtut. Why exactly is that true? So the Gemara has al drasha. Why that should be the case? Because of Esa'olo Sa'ela HaKohen, Ba'Sefer. Ba'Sefer tells us that is necessary, and as Rashi writes, Ba'Sefer means that Sirtut is indeed needed. So that's exactly why the Gemara says that if you have the Gemara Sota that's written like an Igeres, it's considered to be psula, because sefer, amar rachmana. So Tosus is bothered again by the following, that's the drasha of the Gemara. You need a gzeres akosav of a sefer to tell us that sirtut is needed. That's the chiddush of Rashi. The Gemara says that, again, igeres is psula, and Rashi says that means igeres is hainu below sirtut. Below sirtut. Why do you need a drasha for that? According to the Ran, it fits in very well, that sirtut is needed when you're dealing with a ksav, which is omed l'kriya. And there's something unusual about Megillah Sota. That is l'mechika nitzna. Now there, the ksav, ironically, it's written because part of the process of Sota is the mechika sashem, the mechika saparsha. And for example, we pointed out the Yerushalmi Sota Beis Dalet, where there the Yerushalmi writes the Chiddush, that the Megillah Sota is not mitame sayadayim. Why should that be different than other forms of ksav? The answer is Yerushalmi Mishum de l'mechika nitna. And therefore, enachinami, if you're going to require sirtut, that should be like mezuzah, that it requires some type of drasha, and that, according to Rashi, is the meaning of the drasha of basev. And then we pointed out the following. When you look in that Tosus and Sota Daf Yud Zayin Beis, Tosus raises an amazing safek. Is it possible to do sirta la'achar ksiv? La'achar ksiv. Well, that seems to be something which is fundamental. And Tosus says, umi lo yadana, a suffix in Tosus. See, if you're going to view sirta as a hechsher ksiva, let's say in the most common sense terms, if you're going to have scored lines, you're going to be able to write in a more beautiful fashion, well, obviously, that makes sense, kodem haksiva, not to go ahead and do so after the ksiva is done. If you're going to argue that, no, that this is midin sefer, cheftza, halacha, for example, in Kisvei HaKodesh, maybe one could argue that, how do you know it has to be step one? Maybe it can be step two. After the ksiva, certain deed can be done. So Tosus Mamish raises this issue that would one be able to salvage the need for sirtut la'achar ksiva? So he pointed out, Rabbi Kivega says, is that exactly against the Gemara? Because after all, that whole discussion, whether you can take a parsha of tefillin, Menachos Daf Lamed Beis, and use it for mezuzah, the Gemara is bothered that why should that be a function of Ma'alan V'Kodesh Be'Moridin alone? Ma'alan V'Kodesh seems to be the process is good. The question is, can it be used for A and it can be used for B? You know, let's say, for example, I tell you that the Ibud HaKlav has to be Lishma. Okay, so you know what? Oh, that would be an issue. If I was Ma'aved the Klav for A, can I use it for B? So guess what? The Tanner work the Klav for this, can I use it for that? Oh, that's an issue of Ma'alan V'Kodesh. That is very no-geh l'halacha, less no-geh b'zman hazeh than it was a few years ago. But you know, like a few years ago, they used to take klav, and they wanted to do the ibud on the klav, not knowing exactly at that moment what the klav is going to be used for. Is this klav going to be used for a parsha mezuzah, a parsha tefillin? You know, maybe even possibly if doing a large area for a sefer Torah, that was always a deal. Now, how can you go ahead and do lishma of ibud if you don't exactly know what it's going to be used for? You'll do the highest level of lishma. That should be a problem of Ma'alan V'Kodesh Be'Moridin. You're going to do a lower level lishma. It's not going to help for. Can you rely on, Rabbi Kivega, a breira? Whatever it's used for, that's what retroactively had in mind. No, that's also lumdus. Can you do it in that particular fashion? That I understand. You know, that's an issue of Ma'alan V'Kodesh, because the process of the ibud is the same. Here's the first father. The process is not the same. No? After all, that tefillin doesn't require sirtut, mezuzah requires sirtut. You're talking about A and B. Obviously, A can't be used for B. Forget about any question of Ma'alan V'Kodesh. So the only teretz the Gemara gives to that kash is Einochinami. If you're going to come on to Ma'alan V'Kodesh, Tanoihi. You have to assume that a Megillah doesn't require sirtut. Because if Megillah requires sirtut, then tefillin does not. It's a non-starter. Of course, you can't go ahead and do that. So that's Rabbi Kivega's kasha. According to Tosus, why is that a non-starter? Just go ahead and do the sirtut afterwards. No? Isn't that right, Mokachas, that you can't rectify ksav that was done without sirtut? If you could, then again, it boils down to a Ma'alan V'Kodesh problem. Not a halach in cheftze, because whatever you're lacking now, you can go ahead and supplement. Do it right now. You can rectify that particular problem. Wow. Such a stunning kasha. The Tosus that the Marikir raises against the Chiddush of Tosus. Furthermore, we pointed out the following. When you look in that Gemara Menachos and Daf Lamed Beis, the Gemara tells us the following, that if you have a mezuzah, and mezuzah is written like an igeres, it's psula. How do you know that's true? Ksiva ksiva. So the Gemara is very unclear. What does it mean, ki igeres? And what is this gzera shava ksiva ksiva misefer? What exactly is this drasha? We're comparing mezuzah to what? So Rashi tells you the following. You know what it means, ki igeres? Rashi begins below sir. Then Rashi adds another possibility, below dik bechaseros v'yaseros. When you're writing a letter, you're not going to be so careful about the exact spelling of chaseros v'yaseros. You know, you're going to write it maybe phonetically. Not today in modern Hebrew, that so many things are written malay. No? So many things are written malay. Like you look at everything that's written now in Hebrew. No, they'll the right things that are mamet. No, but so if you're writing it, you'll do it like phonetically. But the question is, how critical is that? Does that really correspond? We discussed. Does the kashrus of the Sefer Torah hinge on the chaseros v'yaseros? That's an important issue. Minchasinach v'yadulut, no? The last minchasinach, mitzvah tayag. Right, it's an interesting chiddush. The question is that really true? The interesting chiddush that it depends if it changes the meaning of the word. And only if it changes the meaning of the word is that a problem. So if you take something that should be in the single and you write it in the plural, well, that's a real problem. No? That's a problem. But if you write the name Aron with a vav, even though we don't write Aron with a vav, but if you put a vav after the resh, before the nun, is there any ambiguity? Right? We know who the Torah is referring to. Aron HaKohen. Whether it's this, whether it's that, that's the great chiddush of Mentasina. Chaseros v'yaseros that change the meaning of the word, that's a psul, otherwise it's not. And with this in mind, Mentasinach writes, he can resolve all kasha. On the one hand, how if you have a problem in chaseros v'yaseros, the Sefer Torah is possible. And on the other hand, the Gemara says in Kedushin that they had difficulty figuring out the middle letter of the Sefer Torah because lo bekinim v'chaseros v'yaseros. How does that work exactly? No? You don't know the placement of vavs. They're drashas daraisa based on vav. No? Those sitting in the beginning of Sanhedrin, Yeshim the Mikra, Yeshim Masoris. I know how many zrikas to do on a karban because karnos and karnas. And I know how many defanos a sukkah needs because of sukkos and sukkas. No? And I know much about dinei tefillin because tatfas and totafos. How can you say we don't know the placement of vavs? So Menchasina Christ, I'll give you a great terrace that answers everything. No? That anything that mattered, of course, Chazal knew meticulously. Sukkos and Sukkas, there's a world of difference. Karnos and Karnas, there's a world of difference. Karnas HaMizveach means one. Karnos HaMizveach means many. That we don't know. That we must know. But something like a Vav of Aron, you know what? That does not make a difference in terms of the meaning of the Pasuk. That is not Liku. That is not Liku. And that, Chazal, we're not sure of those types of vavs. So you know, the Mayna Afkamina, that's exactly the Gemara Kedushin. If you want to tell me what is the middle letter of the Sefer Torah, vav de gacham, you have to consider those vavs also. But that wouldn't result in a Sefer Torah being kosher apostle. It's similar to, let's say, the Pshar of the Beis Yosei. When do you have to correct the Balkore? When he makes a mistake? Well, very yeshita is extreme, no? The Sefer Hamaneg writes, rarely correct the Balkore. Rarely correct the Balkore. You know, because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You know, Bar Mitzvah boy is giving us drasha. And he says, he reads the pasuk S. You're going to start yelling out S, you know, to the Bar Mitzvah boy. You know, you're going to start. He's telling you a Dvar Torah. Dvar Torah doesn't hinge on that S or S. Let it go. So let's say he really kind of mispronounces something. Probably Dvar Torah doesn't hinge on that. You know, so let it go. Let it go. Well, the Sefer Manik writes the same thing about Talmud Torah B'tzibur, Talmud Torah B'rabim. If a Kohen makes a mistake, let it go. Unless he says something crazy, you know? Crazy you have to respond to, no? He's reading the Pasuk of Kriya Shema. That's the Siramana's example. And instead of saying Hashem Echad, he reads it like a Reish, you know, because he just thought it was a Reish, not a Dalet. You have to scream. You have to put like something like, so, out of the box, so, you know, of course, how can you not respond? How can you not respond? Otherwise, don't embarrass the Balkari. And the Rambam, opposite, the Rambam says that your choser for diktuk os achas. Diktuk os achas. Wow. Musalechik said b'shem Reb Chaim, that includes trap. That includes trap. Diktuk os achas. You know? That includes trap. That includes trap. Musalechik once said that he said a haftorah, and Reb Chaim was present. So they knew he was going to, they were going to correct him, you know, even for mistaken trap. Like ad kadekach. The Beis Yosef's pshar is changing the meaning of a word. Changing the meaning of a word. S and A's don't correct. But if you say something, this convey a different meaning that you have to correct. And that's I would say is the default. That's the method. You go to a show where they raise the bar. Okay, let them raise the bar. No, don't scream out. Let them raise the bar. No, let the gabbai correct the S's and the A's. Right. The default is if it really changes. Changing a meaning of the word. Okay, so Rashi writes that maybe that's what it means about a mezuzah. That, you know, kasva kigeris could mean lo dikdik v'chaseros v'yaseros. Lo dikdik v'chaseros v'yaseros. That's like an igeris. Because when you write a letter, typically you're not so careful about those types of things. Wow, so Rashi writes the two possibilities. One is the sirtut issue, and one is chaserus viserus. Okay. And then Rashi writes, and what's ksiva? Ksiva? I understand. Ksiva when it comes to mezuzah, chsav to mezuzah, that's good. What's the other part? What's the other half? So Rashi writes, chidush, no? Rashi writes, because of the sefer krisus. Because of the sefer krisus. Wow, Tosus is like stunned by that, no? The Tosus of Anachas Naflamedes. You know? Because Tosus points out, you know what? What does that mean? Just like we're so makbed and chaseros v'yaseros when it comes to a get, so too you have to be so makbed when it comes to mezuzah. That's what it means. Right? That kasva ki geres is psula. And it's based on what? It's based on get. First Tosus says, does a get require sirta? That's a little surprising. That a get should require sirta? And Tosus makes the comment, kama chaseros v'yaseros sheish v'get. There are a lot of like chaseros and yaseros in a get. You know, when we write a get, we write things out. We write things out. There are words in a get that have five yuds in them, you know? Imagine, no? Five yuds, you know? Like, whoa, you know? You can take a look at the Tosus, take a look in that sugya. Menachos naflamed beis at the Lechus Yantif, in the back of the Gemara. You know, we have some unusual words in a get that have so many yuds. You didn't think there could be so many yuds in a word. No, because we like write everything out. Mamish, mamish, mole, mole. But that's a chiddush that Rashi writes. And then Rashi writes another possibility that maybe it's Parshas Beshalach. Ksov zos ikaran basefer. Wow. Ksov zos, a reference to Melchemes Amalek. Melchemes Amalek. Ksov zos ikaran basefer. Oh, that's the drasha of the Gemara. That if you read the Megillah Baal Peh, you're not Yotze? No, because after all, I guess part of the kiyum of Megillah is, you know, Zechiras Amalek. And Ksov zos ikaran basefer. So Korah Baal Peh is lo yatsa. So Rashi writes that this is part of the Gzeirah Shem when it comes to mezuzah. It's something which is so surprising, so surprising. So Tosus really objects. Tosus objects. After all, that's the source. That's the source. Well, yeah, where else do you have the Sefer? That's what Tosus says. Where do you have the Sefer? That's Soti Yadzayin. Now that's Soti Yadzayin. Because of Sa'olo Sa'ila HaKohen BaSefer. BaSefer. The Gzeirah Shavah is from the Parsha Sasota. The Parsha Sasota. What's true of the Parsha Sasota is true of Mezuzah. And what is that referring to? The Dikduk of Chaseros V'Yaseros. The Dikduk of Chaseros V'Yaseros. In a Parsha Sasota, if it says write this in a Sefer, you have to get it right. And therefore, the same thing is true when it comes to Mezuzah as well. Even though the Torah doesn't use the word Sefer when it comes to a Mezuzah. But nonetheless, that's considered to be critical. According to Rashi, the Gzeirah Shavah is surprising. And according to Rashi, is that really true? That sirtut is necessary in a mezuzah because of, what, a Gzeirah Shavah? Of ksiva, ksiva. Ksiva, ksiva. La sefer. The Gemara says it's halacha Moshe Sinai. So I guess you have to argue, according to Rashi, that there are two makoros for sirtut when it comes to mezuzah. Number one, mefurish in the Gemara, halacha Moshe Sinai. Number two, the Gemara has a gzeirah shavah, ksiv ksiv, which Rashi says is referring to sirtut. Whoa, so that's surprising. There are two different makoros. How do you know you need sirtut when it comes to mezuzah? The answer is hilchasa, and the answer is a gzeirah shavah, ksiv ksiv. So why indeed is that different? So we've been already developing that, you know what, there are different elements to sirtut. One is halach in cheftza. One is halach in ksiva. One is a hechsha ksiva. One is halacha in cheftza. One is that the writing requires sirtut. The other is the sefer requires sirtut. The sefer requires sirtut. In order to label something as a safe, there's certain things that you need. You need a cover, you need a binding, you need sirtut. No? You need sirtut. You know, you don't need a cover alpidin, you don't need binding alpidin, but you need sirtut. That's dine ha-sefer. And that fits in very well, according to Rashi. That's exactly the drasha of sefer. And that you wouldn't have known from the halacha Moshe Nisina. Why exactly is that true? Because I could argue that, you know what, you need the hechsher ksiva, But you don't necessarily mean you need the element of sefer. Oh, so therefore two makaros are necessary. Mezuzah requires both. Number one, hechshuk siva. Number two, cheftza, sefer. Oh, mamay nafgamina. Oh, I'll tell you, that addresses tosus asafe. Tosus asafe. Can a person go ahead and do sirtut after ksiva? After ksiva. You know what I would tell you? That accommodates halacha two of sefer, but it's not going to accommodate halacha one of a hechshur ksiva. How can the hechshur ksiva be done? La'achar ksiva. Oh, so I'll tell you the following. If I only had the halacha of sefer, I would argue that it's not a sefer without, but I could envision the possibility of sirtut la'achar ksiva. But if you're telling me above and beyond that, there's a hilchasa, there's a halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, in terms of the hechshur ksiva, that has to be step one. It cannot be step two. And I'll tell you the flip side of the nafgamina, and that's the Beis Yosef in Simen Reish Ayin Aleph. Oh, the Mordechai, the Shem Rabbeinu Simcha. How permanent does sirtut have to be? What would you say about a sirtut that is not kayim olam? Kayim olam. It's there b'shas ksiva, but you know what? Over time, somehow the sirtut is no longer nikar. Mamish, that's a suffix of Rabbeinu Simcha. Wow. I will tell you that's the flip side. In terms of a hechsher ksiva, that would be sufficient. B'shas ksiva. But if you're telling me it's halacha in sefer, it has to be something which is shalkayama. It has to be something which is absolutely, absolutely enduring. Oh, so maybe that's the answer then to Rabbi Kevegar's kasha. Against this chiddush, no? That after all, Tosu says, what's the story with doing sirtut afterwards, after the fact? So Rabbi Kevegar, obviously it's no good, no? That's exactly the Gemara of Man Kodesh, Shmein Oridin. Because if sirtut could be done afterwards, just do sirtut right now. So why is the Gemara so bothered? That would be a great terrace of the Gemara's kasha, which the Gemara doesn't give. Right? The Gemara says, Tanoihi, not Tanoihi. We'll do sirtut, but we'll do sirtut afterwards. Afterwards. Oh, so the answer is as follows. That, you know what? Mezuzah has two dini sirtut. Two dini sirtut. One is basef. One is basef. If it's only basefer, maybe one could argue that could be a kamei lafarkach. But the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai of sirtut when it comes to mezuzah is hechshuk ksiva. That cannot be done afterwards. So I'll tell you the following incredible chiddush. What is Tosus's deal, the context of sirt lachar ksiva? Tosus is referring to Megillah Sota. Megillah Sota, that's very mistaber, no? When it comes to Megillah Sota, where the source of sirtut is HaKohen Basefer, Enochinami, maybe that can be accommodated afterwards. But when it comes to Mezuzah, where there is a Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, then certainly that's not an option. Certainly that's not an option. That's how the Gemara is forced to say Tanayi. Exactly. Because in Mezuzah, that certainly is not the case. Now let me tell you an incredible deal. You ready? Ooh. The Gemara says, Tfilin Shabalu. Enos and Mezuzah. Because my Makosh Minyan, right? The Gemara says, how can that be? Vahaya. The Gemara says, no. Vaha, Ba'inun, Sirtut. No? Sirtut's necessary. How do you know? Because, what's the next line of the Gemara? Mezuzah tzricha sirtut halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Whoa. The Gemara doesn't say Megillah tzricha sirtut, period. Megillah tzricha sirtut halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, no? Or halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai? Rashi writes the two makoros, no? There's halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, there's ksiva ksiva. So why is the Gemara like, Mezuzah requires sirtut hilchasa? Hilchasa, ksiva ksiva, gzera shava. The answer is no. The gzera shava basefer, there, you know what? I have a great etza. I'll do this sirtut lachar ksiva. So when I go ahead and take this to one, use it for the mezuzah, I'll do sirtut right here and now. But the Gemara says, that's not sufficient when it comes to mezuzah. Why? Incredible. Because mezuzah, tzricha, sirtut, halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. Halacha one, not halacha two, no? And that's why the Gemara doesn't quote according to Rashi that sirtut is necessary because of ksiva ksiva. And could very well be again that Tosus HaSafek is regarding the Megillah Sota, where the only question is, Basefer? Oh, so that's fascinating. Then can I accommodate the safer element? And maybe in a chinami, that indeed, that would be the case. I'll tell you now further. Tosus refers you to the Gemara Megillah, the Tez Zion Amadeus. There in the context of Megillah, in Megillah, there the Megillah is self-described, Divrei Shalom, the Emes. What exactly does it mean, Emes? That this is considered to be Divrei Shalom, the Emes. Oh, Rabbi Tanchum says the following, Molamed Shetzricha Sirtut Ke'amita Shotor. Molamed Shetzricha Sirtut Ke'amita Shotor. That this Megillah requires Sirtut because it's described as being Emes. So it means that it requires sirtut like amito shel Torah. That's the drasha. What is amito shel Torah? Rashi writes the following: Kesefer Torah, Kesefer Torah atzmo, that requires sirtut ala chamosh misina. Wow. So the Megillah is called Divrei Emes. That means Torah's Emes. So Torah requires sirtut. Megillah requires sirtut. Tosus questions that. Is that so obvious? The halacha mosh misina, the Sefer Torah requires sirtut. Is that so obvious? Indeed, that's true. Yeah, the Gemara says emes. No. So Tosus writes the following. The Tosus of Achos, Lamed Beis. Tosus says that no, lo kamo shapir shema kuntris. It's referring to Sefer Torah. You know what amito shel Torah means? It means mezuzah. Because the mezuzah contains amito shel Torah. The mezuzah contains the parsha of Kriya Shema, which is Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim. So when the Gemara uses the phrase that Amito Shel Torah, it's a very, very specific reference. In other words, that Megillah requires Sirtut. Why indeed is that considered to be true? Right. Is it because Megillah is compared to Sefer Torah because of the word Emes? Or is it now a more specific reference? We'll have to talk about the Sefer Torah requiring Sirtut. We'll see. You saw the Rabbeinu Tam. But here it means mezuzah. That's the drasha of Amita Shel Torah. So Tosus now raises the following kasha. Because how can you say it means Torah? How can you mean it means the Torah in its totality? Because if that really is true, if you're telling that the Megillah is compared to Torah, and the dinim that apply to Sefer Torah apply to Megillah, and then include Sirtut, for that you need Divrei Shalom ve'emes. You need a drasha. Emes is amito shel Torah. Tosus refers you to the Gemara Daf Yud Tes in Megillah that tells us the following. The Megillah itself, right? Perek Tes, the Megillah Sester, Pasuk Lamed Beis. The Nichtav Ba Sefer. It itself is described as being Ba Sefer. And therefore, for example, the Gemara tells us that the Tfira of the Megillah, the way you sew the Arios together, has to be like a Sefer Torah. And if Tafra Bechute Pishtan, if you're going to just take like thread, a typical thread, Pishtan, flax, and use that to sew together, that's insufficient, because the Dine Sefer Torah are going to apply to Megillah, because Megillah is Nikre Sefer. So if you're telling me a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, and the Dine Sefer Torah apply to Megillah, you don't need a Mito Shel Torah to tell you that. Why not just simply say that just like a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, also the Megillah requires Sirtut. What do you need? What do you need that for? Well, that's an important chiddush as well, right? So why exactly is that true? Rav Zsolti in Mishnas Yavetz and Yoredei in Siman Lamed Aleph writes the following chiddush. Maybe one could argue as well. You know what? There are two dinei sirtut. Wow, there are two dinei sirtut. Just like when it comes to mezuzah, one is considered to be a hechsher ksiva, and you know what? The other is considered to be a chaloshem sefer. And maybe, it could be something which is stunning, that maybe there are two dini sirtut when it comes to Megillah. There are two dini sirtut when it comes to Megillah as well. there's an element, no doubt, of sirtut in terms of the sefer, and there's an element of sirtut in Megillah that is an expansion of the Hilchos as well. And maybe both indeed are necessary. And maybe that's part of Divrei Shalom Ve'emes, that part of the Hechsher Ksiva, Kamito Shel Torah, requires indeed that's true. After all, Rashi says, because after all, Sirtut is, Rashi writes, Ilchasa, Halacha Moshe Nisinai. So there are two dini Sirtut when it comes to Mezuzah. Maybe one can argue by expansion when it comes to Kisvei HaKodesh of Megillah as well. When we began the sugya, we pointed out the chiddush of the Rambam, Nahilcha Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin Halacha Tezayin. The Rambam said the following, you know what? Kisvei HaKodesh, of course, our Gemara requires sirtut. In Kosos and Elav sirtut. And then the Rambam adds the following, Afilu Kosvan Al Haniyar. Even if you're writing it on a piece of paper. Wow. What's the chiddush of Niyar? That's not Sefer. That's not Kisvei HaKodesh. So the Rambam writes, if you're going to go ahead and write psukim, even an entire sefer, you know what? You have to make sure you have sirtut. But that's not limited to kedushas Kisvei HaKodesh. That would even be true of kosvan al haniyar. Kosvan al yar means, right, void of sefer and Kisvei HaKodesh. Why exactly is that necessary? Poshub shat ben halach of the Rambam that afilu kosvan al niyar is halacha number one. Not b'torah sefer, but part of the hechsher ksiva. If it's a sefer requires sirtut. The chiddush of the Rambam is that these psukim require sirtut, even if it doesn't have the status of sefer. I guess that must be driven by the sirtut aspect of hechsher ksiva. Wow, so that's an important chiddush. Rav Zolti writes the following fascinating possibility, and then another interesting possibility. Rav Zolti writes, in that case that the Rambam writes, Kosvan al haniyar. Why is sirtut necessary? Not because of Lafatu, Chetza, Sefer. It's not. It's because of Eshek Siva. There, perhaps, a Dover Poshut. You would not require a sirtut hamiskayim. You wouldn't require something that's lasting. There, you wouldn't have that suffix in the Mordechai. There would argue, as long as at the time of the ksiva, that's considered to be good, enochinami, that's considered to be sufficient. Because there is just the hechsher ksiva, it's not driven by the dine sefer. The permanence is a function of dine sefer. The timing, that it has to be before the ksiva, that's halach of hechsher ksiva. If you're going to say there's a din sirtut when it comes to kosvan al haniyar, it's driven by one, not by two, two meaning sefer, and in that case, you require a prior sirtut, but you don't require a sirtut which is a davar miskayim. And Rav Zolti raises the following interesting chiddush. When it comes, even for example, to sefer Torah, mezuzah, you assume that there are indeed two dinim. What would you assume regarding the following? That, you know what, the ksiva is done After the sirtut. But you know what? I look at this sirtut. It's not a sirtut hamiskayim. So you know, do I have the right, la'achar ksiva, to go ahead and to make it an indelible imprint? You have sirtut b'shas ksiva, but it is not omid lihiskayim. But lachar ksiva, you go ahead and, so that's his chiddush, that he thinks that should accommodate both dinim. The sirtut was there, b'shas ksiva, and that's good to require that it has to be kodem haksiva, and even if there is a din sefer, that could be accommodated afterwards. So that's an interesting possibility, that kosvan al haniyar only requires one, and even when you deal with the lach of sefer, that it can't fully be afterwards, but if it began kodem ksiva when it is a davar she'eino shokayama, so maybe chenami that could in fact be rectified. Now I'll ask you the following. We touched on this early on. This is not found in the Gemara. This is a very heavy machlokes. Does sirtut require lishma? The sirtut requires lishma. The sivu requires lishma. The sirtut require lishma. The sirtut require lishma. Not so clear. We pointed out that chiddush of the tour, here there, reishain aleph. Sirtut does not have to be lishma. Sirtut does not have to be lishma. That's the chiddush of the Torah. If you look there in reishain aleph, that very same Pesach Tshuva quotes the Yesh Cholkin, that sirtut does require lishma. Sirtut does require lishma. Pesach Tshuva quotes this, the name of the sefer Bnei Yonah. It's not found in the Gemara so clearly. No, the Torah writes no, and others assume absolutely yes. The Prima Gadim writes in Siman Lamed Beis. Siman Beis is not that long siman about Ksiva Stam. No, Prima Gadim writes that a mezuzah requires sirtut lishma, not just ksiv lishma. It requires sirtut lishma. Perhaps the starting point in this issue is this point. You know, if you're telling me that the sirtut is part of the dine sefer, part of an inherent part. In order to have the status of kisvei hakodesh or mezuzah or that, sirtut is absolutely necessary. So maybe again the muskel rishon, right? That the starting point would be that, you know what? Lishma should be necessary. The ksiv is necessary, the ibud is necessary, the sirtut part. If you're going to argue, maybe in the common sense terms, Hekshur Ksiva. And Hekshur Ksiva simply means that, you know what, in order to go in to facilitate the Ksiva, Ba'ofen Hamahudar, so that requires Sirtut, is it Boshab Shah? That's not what the Torah is saying. The Sirtut is Halacha, but the Halacha is driven by the pragmatics of being able to write appropriately. Maybe that's not halacha in chefza that requires lishma, and therefore, right? Maybe that could be another nafkamina as well, right? Between again these two dinim, a temporary ksiva, sirtut which is done achar kach, right? Whether lishma indeed is necessary. So maybe again that is considered to be critical, and in those places where there are two makaros, as Rashi Shita and Mezuzah. And perhaps even when it comes to Megillah, so in such a case, because both dinim are absolutely, absolutely necessary. There is a fascinating stira just simply in the Machlokes and Our Gemara when you look at the Rambam. After all, Our Gemara tells us when it comes to Igeres, how many words are you allowed to write? So Rabbi Yitzchak tells the following, that you know what, two yes, but three no. And there's a braisa, that says no. Three yes and four no. So that's how Tosus begins. Now, the Rabbi Yitzchak, Tosus quotes the Ba'av, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchak. If you look in Rashi and Yevamos in the Kuvav Medeis, Rashi writes the halacha is like the braisa. Tosus quotes the Ba'av, we paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak, the two yes and three no. And others assume, no, Rosh Hashita, the Paschim, like the Brisa, the three yes and four no.
Maybe the Mafri is the psul. When you write the sirtut out of place, the real psul is Mafri. I just like letters of mezuzah. You can't write one before the other. So sirtut is a problem of the Mafri.
Perhaps when it comes to it, there is alok in ksiva that it has to be ksidra. Is there alok ksidra when it comes to sirtut? In other words, Tosus is suffix is even in cases that you don't require Kesidra. Like Tosus is suffix about Sirtut afterwards was, even when it comes to Megillah Sota, well, we don't necessarily assume that Kesidra is indeed necessary. So if you look in the Rambam, we discussed this Rambam, no, that's that very Rambam, Zayin Te Zayin. The Rambam writes, Mutter, Lichtov, Shalosh, Tevos, below Sirtut. Three yes, four no. That's pretty mafurish, no? Three yes, four no. That's against our Tosus, no? See, our Tosus says that the Bahag says the Allah is our Rabbi Yitzchak. Two yes, three no. The Rambam writes, Mutter lichtov shalosh tevos v'lo sirtut. Okay. You know what the problem is? There's one more Ram. No? His Rambam is in Hilchos Yibum v'Chalitza. Perek Dalet Halacha Lamed Beis. Perek Dalet Halacha Lamed Beis. The Rambam writes the following. When you go ahead and write a get yavnim or a ksuvas yavnim, you have a zika. There's going to be yimur chalitza. Yimur chalitza is going to be accompanied by some type of document, some type of document. So the Rambam writes, realize that document is going to describe the yibum lachalitza. Right? A get yavnim or a ksuvas yavnim. So the Rambam writes simply, so misartate makam apsukim. So the psukim of that document, make sure you have sirtut. Because you're ready. Whoa. Sha'asa lichtav shalosh tevos lo sirtut. Because you're not allowed to write three words without sirtut. So if that really is true and you're quoting psukim, make sure indeed that the sirtut is done. Okay? So you're writing a get yavnim or a ksuvis yavnim. But guess what? That includes psukim. So the Rambam writes, make sure to have sirtut. You don't need kisvei hakodesh. A get yavnim, a ksuvis yavnim requires sirtut. So make sure to do that because after all, asur lichtov shalosh tevos, velo sirtut. That's the real gears in the Rambam. Shalosh tevos. That's unusual, no? The Rambam Hilchos Sefer Torah. Paskins like the Braisa, the Shalosh Kosvin, and Arba in Kosvin. It's Mefurish in the Rambam, no? So how can the Rambam here write differently? The Rambam writes, Mutter Lichto Shalosh Tevos. And here the Rambam writes, Asir Lichto Shalosh Tevos. Now, that's a pretty big steer, no? But Mutter Asir, it's the same phrase. No, Mutter Lichto Shalosh Tevos. And the Rambam writes, but make sure you do sirta properly. How indeed can that be? Well, how indeed can that be? Here you have fascinating, possible truths. Lechemishna is bothered by this. Lechemishna writes the following, that Rabbi Yitzchak, who is Lechumra, who says Shalosh Ein Kosvin, is talking about, that's what the Mishnah writes, B'Shalosh Tevos Lidrasha, Oigeres. You know, he's talking about our Gemara, like writing an Igeres. And if you're writing an Igeres, like the Mishnah writes, Yesh Chshas Yoser Sheyizal Zulubo. You know, it's like just a letter. And people will be mizalzel. They won't treat it like in a holy way. And these are Keil Ashba. They'll toss it, they'll throw it out. So you know what? Even if you're lighting a small group of, you know, when it comes to Shemus, for example, no? So an association of two letters is not necessarily shameless. Two words, three words, ooh, all of a sudden, right, there's a difference. That already is considered to be a phrase. So you're writing an igeres, you know what? So people likely will just discard it when they're finished. It's an igeres. So yesh lavshus loser, she is azlubo. So therefore, you know what? Even three letters, three words, is considered to be problematic. And that's true of like a get chalitza. It's like an igeres. It's like a letter. It's informational. It's important. It's an important document. But it's a document. A document. Oh, Mashen Kain. When you're dealing with tefillin, sefer Torah, kisvei hakodesh, there is less likelihood that would be true, and therefore the sirtut is a complete phrase. Okay, that's what the lechemishna writes. If you look at Or Sameach. Right, in Hilchos Sefer Torah, there's some Ach writes, you know what? When the Rambam writes, be careful to do sirtut, because even the three words in Get Yavnim or Ksusim requires sirtut. So some Ach writes the following Charifus. You know, when you go ahead and write, for example, this shtar, the shtar chalitza, the shtar chalitza, what psukim does it include? What exactly does it include? Oh, so Sameach writes the following. You know what? It includes a long phrase. Me'ein yevami lahakim lachiv shem b'Yisrael. Well, okay, that's six words. But it also includes phrases from the pasuk that are three words. Lo avoyavmi, lo chafasi lakachta. Kacha yesel isha shelo yevmei sachiv. A get chalitza is a combination of long phrases from the pasuk and short phrases of the pasuk. Long and short. The same is true when it comes to the ksuvas yavmi. No? You'll have a long phrase, v'haya v'chora shertelet yokam al shem achiv hames. That's really long. And you'll have a short citation of the pasuk. Yavama yavoleha. That's the Harifus Dor Sameach writes. That the get chalitza and the ksuvis yavim contains a series of psukim. Some of which are very long, but some of which are three words. And the chiddush that Dor Sameach writes is that combination requires sirtut, carrying over even to the shorter phrases. If all you would have is a short phrase, enochinami, mikar hadin, three tables do not require sirtut. But if you're talking about in combination, you're talking about a nusach that has longer and shorter, so therefore, even the shorter phrases of three words require sirtut. And that's the uniqueness. The shurus hadin is Hilchos Sefer Torah. And Hilchos Yibum is like unusual. Unusual that there you have a combination of long, short, shorter three words, those indeed require. Well, not exactly the same at all, but similar. If you look in the Sam Sofer in our Sugya, right, he writes the following, that maybe it means the following. The Rambam Shita is that, you know, two words do not require sirtut. Four words, a phrase, always requires sirtut. Three words depends on whether it is, right, an independent clause. Three words, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Two no, four yes. What about three? Three really it depends. If it's three words that have a mashmos, right, it's something that is informational, it's something that is an independent clause, then yes. And that is the difference. When the Rambam is describing Hilchos Sefer Torah, the three words do not, it means three random words that do not. But when the Rambam is describing the three words that deal with the case of Yuman Chalitza, we're talking about Lo Chafatzi Lekachta, we're talking about Yavama Yavoleha. Those three words indeed require, because those three words have an independent message that indeed that is considered to be done. This is also addressed in the Tshuva of the Radvaz. It's found in Chelak Hei, in Simen Elef Tofresh Sariches. Where the Radvaz writes the following, that typically speaking, right, the purpose of sirtut is to make sure that the ksav is, you know, intact, it's perfect, it's beautiful. So the Radvaz writes, maybe it's not so surprising that we'll paskin differently in Sefer Torah than we will when it comes to a simple shtar of Yavama, or for the following reason, that the ksivas Sefer Torah is performed by Abaki, Mishadarko Lichtov, and therefore only the longer phrases require sirtut, not something which is very, very short. And in Hilchos Yibum, we're talking about Ksivas Hashtar, which is Mesura Lakol, then we assume that even less, requires Sirtut. Even Gimel Ein Kosvin. That was the Harifus of the Or Samech, the Sam Sofer, that there's something unusual about the three words of Yibum or Chalitza. Either that it's in combination, or that those three words are considered to be of very, very significant. Okay, so we have the Kesem Mishnah, we have the Ram, the Tudinim, now we have to begin Rabbeinu Tam writes, that there are two different types of Sirtut. You know, so don't get confused. Yes and no is going to result in all these theories. No? There's one type of Sirtut that Tam writes that simply serves as a guide, right? And therefore, you know what? You're going to have one line above the opening line, and that's going to serve as a guide. And then you're going to write, and you're going to kind of use each line as a guide. So you have sometimes a single scored line, Me'al Shur Rishona. And that's what our Gemara is referring to, that is required even of a Geres. And Rabbi Natan writes the Chiddush, that is required even of Tefillin as well. When we say that Tefillin does not require Sirtut, it means it doesn't require the second aspect of Sirtut, but not the first. The broadest form of Sirtut, which is simply the Hechshur Ksiva, to make sure that lines are intact, you don't have to be Mesartate each and every line. You just have to be able to have, right, a guide. And that's the reference of our Gemara, and that's even true of Tefillin. The Tefillin requires that form of Sirtut. The next step, as we'll have to talk about, is sometimes more than that is necessary. The Halacha Moshe Nisinai, that Sirtut is necessary. For example, when it comes to Mezuzah in not Tefillin, that is the Sirtut of Kol Shura V'Shura. So there are two different types of Sirtut. There's one Sirtut which is the guide, and there's another Sirtut which means every line has to be subject to. And here we'll have to talk about the detail. What is one? The guide of Sirtut. Here we'll have two possibilities. One is the top line, okay. The other, right, the end of Tosfos, no, Masechta Sofrim, is the frame. To frame it, no? Meaning that you have a complete border on all sides. Everybody agrees, as opposed to every line. Step two is every line requires Sirtut. What is step one? You don't need every line, but you need either the Shura Elyona, that's one possibility. But the other possibility is that no, you require that it has to be Misugeres. No, it has to be something which is Sagur. It means you have to have a complete border. So that's the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, that sometimes we require a more elaborate Sirtut, and sometimes we assume that indeed is not true. And this we'll have to see again the details of, and Tosus is going to introduce us to the concept of Hidra Mitzvah. Because sometimes the purpose of Sirtut is to make sure simply something is pleasant, pleasing to the eye, the optics. And that wouldn't apply when it comes to Tefillin, because Tefillin the Parshas are Mechusa. So maybe yes, some base degree of Sirtut, yes, but in other cases, that's not the plan. Okay, so I'll have to pick up with this aspect of the two types.